Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact scenario.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Yes, it is. This is Tech Talk.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
It can't possibly be Tech Talk.
I have a tough time believing it, too.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. That's Michael Tech Talk Kastler. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm still not used to this new board, or new old board, or whatever you want to call it. This thing that we've got sitting here in front of us.
This wonderful thing that was lent to us in an emergency situation.
Yes.
That's keeping us on the air.
Which we have a huge amount of appreciation for.
However. It takes some getting acclimated.
Exactly. I want to before we break into stuff here, I'm going to start making some announcements every single week to people just to let them know something that is happening to the Tech Talk podcast. If you're a podcast listener, I am moving us off of the long-running podcast support and hosting service we were using. We were using Podomatic
forever, for a long time,
since day one. And shouts out to Podomatic. They were there when we needed them. They certainly were the easiest.
They were there for us.
And
the
cheapest.
The cheapest.
Yes, they were.
gotcha.
And the reasons that we're moving off really have to do with the fact that the program has grown, the podcast listenership has grown to a point where I want control over my information. I want control over the statistics and things like that. And for me to do that through Podomatic, we certainly could. The option is there. You can go pay to go pro and all this other business. And I think that's a wonderful option for a lot of people. For myself, however, it's something that I've been thinking about for a long time that I'm a control freak. I want ultimate control over my stuff, and the only way to do that really is to have your own web service page hosting. Feed.
But the bottom line is you're trying to provide the best for the listeners, right?
That's right. So we're doing that. The reason why do you care? Well, if you're a subscriber to the iTunes podcast, I'm trying to work out with Podomatic, an automated. I'm going to get real techie and geeky here for a second.
What a shock!
Yes, I know. The way that you create a podcast. Here's a short rundown of a podcast. Podcast is basically the same thing as a blog, where you go and you write and you type and you put in your words and all the other good stuff, and that's wonderful. And it goes out as an RSS feed. Real simple syndication. You can wiki that, and you'll find out a lot of information about it. What is the difference between that and a podcast? The only difference is that in the XML code that is created when you produce an appropriate RSS feed, there's a special code for an enclosure, and the enclosure is an MP3 file, or doesn't have to be, but if you're doing a podcast, generally you're probably doing it as an MP3 file. Maybe you're doing a video podcast. That's an AVI file. What does iTunes do with that? Well, you have to put in some specific code for iTunes, which says to it, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, this is my name, my description, here's my enclosures, and all the other stuff. One of the things that you can do if you own your own feed, if you own your own RSS feed, is you can add a special XML code in there that says iTunes new URL feed, new feed URL, and then put in your new feed URL, and bang, it'll tell iTunes, okay, I'm going to move all of everybody that's subscribed to the old feed to the new one, which is great. That's a wonderful service. However, I don't own... I don't own the feed. It's on Podomatic. So I'm reaching out to Podomatic, and I'm hoping that they can help me to make this as seamless and as gentle a process for those of us that have subscribed through iTunes or other sources to the podcast that you won't even have to know or do anything. But I'm giving you a heads up today to let you know this is in process, and I'll be feeding you more information as time goes on. Those of you that get the monthly newsletter will receive links to the new RSS feed, instructions on how to sign up to it through iTunes, regardless of what Podomatic does, and ultimately, of course, we'll try and capture as many people as we possibly can in this transition phase. And if you're not a member of the newsletter, which is a monthly-only newsletter, so we're not bombarding you and beleaguering you with tons and tons of emails, send me an email, techtalk@wrlr.fm. Just let me know what you want, and we'll do it.
And the bottom line is you're doing this for listeners. In this case, the podcast listeners.
So. Yes. I think it's going to provide additional service to everyone, primarily because with the new situation, I'll be able to include more information that I want to. I can format it more accurately to what I want it to look like. And also, too, I can capture my own statistics, which means that if there's specific episodes that people listen to a lot, that I get a lot of download spikes for them, I can look back and say, oh, well, that was good information. That's what people are interested in hearing, and that's what's keeping us moving. So that's what we'll do. So yeah, hopefully that's a service to listeners, and
well,
we'll go on.
Well, you
it's
know
a
that
service
it,
to
you,
me.
You
too.
Know that it is. You know that it is because of the number of downloads
yeah.
you get.
Well, and that's the other thing too that Podomatic has been a little frustrating. At least the free service of it is that I'm very limited to the amount of bandwidth and also to the amount of storage space. So I can't keep.
Well, you're greedy for free.
I know. Well, let me tell you, I want it all.
You're a cheap control freak.
and I found a cheaper way to do things. I was able to. I now have a hosting site. I'll tell you, I'm using Dream Hosters. They had a special deal running for a while. I can't tell you the dollar amount here on public radio, but I will tell you that it was very, very, very cheap. It was unbelievably cheap. It was so cheap I couldn't pass it up.
Technically, you can't do that on public radio either.
I don't know if the deal's running anymore. I don't know. I'm not going to tell anybody to do anything about this information. There's no calls to action here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I was able to take advantage of a wonderful situation. We are moving to Dream Hosters, and it was such a great situation. I could not. Deal maker in me. The
person that loves a bargain. The bargain hunter
in me. Yeah. Said I don't even if I don't have a use for this, I've got to do it. It's just too blasted cheap. So I have unlimited storage space. I have unlimited bandwidth. And so that means...
Dream Hosters is the name.
Dream Hosters. And that means that I'll also be able to offer all of the archived podcasts.
Oh,
which
boy.
In the past, I had not.
Show's bad now, folks.
Listen to it 2 years. Yeah, you should hear me play piano. If you think the show is bad, wait till you hear me play piano. So that's what's going on. I just want to put in that two couple cents. We should actually give Jay Garman a call right away here. I'm going to hop right into our show. I'm excited about today's stuff we got going on.
What do we have going on?
Well, in addition to Jay Garman, which he's going to give us geek trivia and all the wonderful stuff, after that we're going to have the Webby Awards coming on as a kind of a surprise deal. So...
That's always good news. The Webby Awards does good stuff.
Hopefully, Jay.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. He's picking up. Excellent.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, fellas. How's it going today?
Very good. Very good. Although we're getting bombarded by phone calls in the studio here. I'm not sure why. I've got calls coming into my cell phone. I've got Dave's running out of the room. There's lights are flashing and all. I think it's because we've reached that peak of popularity now. People are just they're hunting either that or maybe it was that federal offense that I had a few days ago. I'm not sure, but
fame, infamy. Is there really a difference?
Oh man, here we go. I see what it is. It's our next guest. He's trying desperately to get a hold of us. Wonderful person. We're going to be talking to David Michel Davies. He wanted to let us know that that he's going to have us call him on his on a different line than what he gave us. So so that's what that was all about. The feds are not at the door. We're
not yet.
Not yet. Exactly.
So we can get out from under the desk.
Exactly. So did you watch it live? Did you get the first installment of the new part of the BSG live last night?
I did indeed, and I watched it over my wife snoring next to me, because clearly 10 o'clock is just too late for the parents of a two-year-old, but I suffered through, and it was a pretty solid episode, I would say. It had one surprise about 40 minutes in that really ratcheted up the tension, and I won't spoil it for anybody, but...
I think Hodgman
is getting his mojo back.
Hodgman on Twitter, and he already ruined. I think it ruined the surprise for anyone that's a Twitter follower. I was not happy about that. I DVR'd it. I was not conscious enough to actually want to watch something that would be of interest to myself. I was in Pennsylvania this last week, and late flight last night, just hoping not to get dumped into the Delaware River on the way home, and.
What are the odds of that happening twice in 1 week? I mean, really.
You know, the funny thing was, too, is that USA Today had been running a number of articles over the last week or so ballyhooing the safety of the airline. And, I mean, I guess the safety was borne out. The airline pilots were well able to handle the situation, and took, even though it was a surprising event, they handled it quite well.
And I did not know that airplanes float. That plane never sank. They've towed it to harbor to complete the investigation. It's still floating.
I saw a detailed description of why that was on. I'm sure it was probably CNN. I was on the East Coast, of course, at the time. So every news station that you turn to, I mean, that's all you got. About 3 or 4 minutes of weather, and then 25 minutes of how the plane crashed and what happened with it. And they talked about how they can shut out the different areas of the plane from the cockpit. If there's like a special ditch button or something like this that they can hit, and it automatically closes everything up, and so because the cabins are pressurized, they can float for quite some time, especially if you don't open that back hatch, which they did not. So
way to go, stewardesses, for understanding basic physics.
Yes. Yes.
Don't open the door that's underwater.
Exactly. And I was just waiting for one of the passengers, though, to really take advantage of their moment in the limelight, you know. And because if I was there, I was thinking, I'm like, oh man, if I had a piece of paper, if I was there, I'd be writing, you know, follow me, Tech Talk WRLR, you know, or something like that, just to get. You know, writing the website name on my sheet or something.
Hey, you cannot use your cell phone until the captain turns off the fastened seatbelt light, and I'm betting he never got around to that.
Oh, good point. Good point. That was the other thing I was surprised at, too, is the paucity of photos from the passengers. There was I only saw one that supposedly a passenger took once they were on a raft or on one of the ferries or something that came over and grabbed them, and that was it. I would have expected.
There's supposed to be a lot of stuff on Twitter.
Oh yeah, or Twitter or Flickr, out on the Flickr groups, and
First one I saw was a twit pic from one of the guys on the Staten Island ferry that got diverted to go pick them up. He's like, I'm on a ferry, a plane is in the Hudson, and we're going to go pick up some people.
Wow.
Which I'm sure was followed up by a tweet of, I'll be late for work, and they'll probably dock me for this. This is New York, you know. Well, what's your problem? Why weren't you here on time? My ferry was late for a plane rescue mission. Is that my problem? No.
You still got to make your numbers, you know.
Exactly.
Oh man! Well, hey, we should jump into actual tech, and we were talking about the scent of geekiness this morning, and hoping to catch some of that odor. We had a great question last week, and of course I'm always doing this at the last second. you'd think after so many shows, and we're at episode 133 now, you'd think after enough shows, I'd learn to like get some stuff up in front of me ahead of time, as opposed to relying upon my 90 words per minute or whatever I've gotten, that I could actually figure out stuff. I know that I had someone who responded with a reasonable answer. It was probably, of course, our good friend Customer Jones. Yes, but why don't you jump ahead while I'm looking to see if it was indeed her? Why don't you jump ahead and let us know what the actual geek trivia answer was to last week, and I'll see if I can find out if she was right or not here.
All right. Well, the question was, why did Sony insist that the diameter of a compact disc be 120 millimeters as opposed to 115 millimeters, which is what their partner Philips wanted right up until the last minute?
That's right. That's right.
And there are two answers. The answer Sony professes is that at 115 millimeters, you would only get 60 minutes of recorded time. And they wanted longer than that because some albums and some key performances go beyond an hour. In particular, the urban legend is that a couple of their high-up executives wanted to be able to listen to the complete Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which is like 68 minutes long.
Yep.
And they, depending on who performs it. And so they insisted the CD be able to do that. So that's the official like public relations reason, which no one in the industry believes.
And I heard that too, but that it was actually the wife of one of the executives, that she was really pressuring her husband to that she wanted to listen to that. So, but go ahead. So
that's the public relations reason. Mm-hmm. The reason most people in the industry believe it's true is that the CD is actually, it came together because Sony invented the Walkman and Philips had the LaserDisc, and they figured if we could combine these two technologies into a super miniature format, Sony was already planning a portable music player to go with the CD, they could conquer the world. The issue was, because Philips already had been making LaserDiscs and stopped, their fabrication plant in Germany was already tooled up to make 115-millimeter discs. So even though they both created the standard, Philips would have beaten Sony to the market. At the time, Philips owned PolyGram Records, and Sony owns Sony Music.
Yep.
So Philips could have hit the market with music faster than Sony. So Sony threw its weight around and bumped the size by 5 millimeters at the last minute to force Philips to retool their German plant so they could both hit the market at the same time.
That's a fascinating story.
You know, it always comes back to money, doesn't it? You know,
it always comes back to money.
I like the Beethoven story better.
It's a more fun story. It's absolutely more fun. It sounds a lot more interesting than, all right, we know you're technically our partner, but you'll win if we keep going this way, and we don't love that. So they made all this noise about it's got to be longer than an hour because, you know, complete LP playing time, complete cassette tape playing time, it can be more than an hour, so we got to add that. Now, the funny thing is, and I've talked to some engineers about this, is even though they went to like this technically 74-minute playing time, while the disc could do that, a lot of players, you know, the laser moves along the diameter of the disc through a little motor, a lot of them were already pre-designed to only go the 60-minute range, so even when they put the compact disc out that could play more than an hour, the players themselves could only get 60 minutes of data. So for a long time, about a third of the market couldn't even get that extra 12 or 14 minutes of playing time.
It would have made a difference for them for playing the Beethoven anyways. So
exactly.
I didn't even think about that as being an issue, that you'd have the players doing that too. And Customer Jones did send, I did finally get that pulled up, and yes, she had answers from I do like the fact that she gives appropriate reference to her sources. And from Wikipedia.org, BBC News, and Tech Republic, she had three separate answers on here. So I think she's well covered with the with the correct response there. And now, of course, we know that Wikipedia in general relies upon the J. Garman Geek Trivia spots and Geekend and all that to support its own lack of original knowledge. So
which to me is the greatest commercial ever for Encyclopedia Britannica if they're using me as a source.
I don't know that I would condemn them for using you as a source. I still think that you've got a good calendar in your future, and if not a book, I know you're working hard on the fiction, but perhaps the nonfiction book is going to be more easily accessible.
You and my wife have been talking because she has this conversation with me about once a month.
Well, you know,
I'm probably leaving dozens of dollars on the table by not writing this trivia book.
I would say more than that, and you'd know you'd have the instant cachet of all of the Tech Talk listeners. So there's that's at least
that's
two copies. of course, you'd have to send a copy to us. You know, so you right there.
I'd send you five. You can give them out as prizes.
Hey, I
might even sign them if I ever write the book and get it published.
we definitely have to send one to Customer Jones
yeah.
then for sure. So, she's certainly put in the work for it. So, well, what do we have for next week?
Well, in honor of Flight 1549 that survived its Hudson splashdown, I'm gonna do an aircraft piece of trivia.
Ah.
The largest aircraft ever to have flown is the HK-1 Hercules, Howard Hughes Spruce Goose.
Right.
The thing about it is it only flew once, and it didn't fly very high or very far. It basically skimmed above the water in I believe it was San Francisco or Los Angeles. I forget exactly where. But anyway, he just sort of proved he didn't completely waste his money, Howard Hughes did. So it's the largest aircraft ever to have flown, but it's not the largest aircraft to have actually entered regular service. What is the largest aircraft ever to have flown more than once?
The largest ever to have flown more than once.
Oh, my.
Right. And this is a typical fixed-wing airplane aircraft, not a rocket, not a helicopter, not a balloon. What is the largest aircraft ever to have flown more than once?
Okay. Now, I notice you say aircraft, not necessarily yep. airplane. So.
It is an airplane. I will say that.
It
qualifies regardless of any other stipulation, but some people, you know, if you go by volume, you might argue a Zeppelin, but this is a airplane. What is the largest airplane ever to have flown more than once?
Okay. That's a good one. Interesting. All right. The largest airplane, and it has to have been flown more than once, of course.
Right.
So.
The Spruce Goose is the largest airplane ever to have flown.
Yep.
It only flew one time.
Yep.
So that was more of a stunt than actual, like, working airplane.
and that still maintains the honor of the largest airplane to have been created and flown. I would have thought by now, you know, one of these newer airplanes would have taken that honor somehow.
Well, I will say this: the Spruce Goose had a 320-foot wingspan. It basically was a football field wide at the wings.
Wow.
And anymore, no matter how big you make something, there's just no A, there's no point in making a wingspan that big. We're too good with thrust and airlift technology. And B, there ain't an airport in the world where you can land something with a wingspan that long. If you ever go and research like the new Super Airbus double-decker plane, like on like half of their engineering problems were finding a way to fit this thing into a normal airport.
Yeah, you know, strap some pontoons on it and use the Hudson. I think that's
there you go.
Well, hey, we got to close this one up. As always, Jay, great to hear from you. We'll look forward to hearing the answer next week. And don't forget, everybody, you can connect to Jay on the writtenweird.blogspot.com, and also too, of course, follow him on Twitter at Jay Garman. So
thanks for the plugs, fellas, and you guys have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Jay.
Jeff. Thank
Talk
you.
To you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
He's almost evil. in the way he comes up with these questions.
I don't know where he pulls them from.
I think I know something about what he's talking about. Then all of a sudden it's like, oops. I'm like, ready. You know, Spruce Goose. I know a lot about the Spruce Goose. Yep. Oh, boy, I'm ready for this. And then he comes, it's like, duh.
Well, it was like the CD thing this week. I was like, oh, I know the answer. Remember last week I was in. I know this one. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. It's the Beethoven thing. Yeah. I'm smart. And then he just pulls it out.
Well, you are smart. You're just not as smart as Jay.
Well, there you go. And there's unfortunately a growing number of people that I can say that about. I'm smart, just not as smart as this person. It's like we've got a good show, but there's other shows that are better. I've got in the back of my head, I want to do a shows better than us sequence series and talk shows better than the ones you're listening to right now, so we can promote some of the shows.
Let's do it the other way. Let's do it shows that are worse than us.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. There you go.
That's really took people off.
Well, hey, we got a cruise along here. I'm gonna bring up some spots and things and getting people interested in the station and listen to some of the ads we've got. Don't forget, you can run your own ads. You can support the Tech Talk show directly. Send me an email, techtalk@wrlr.fm. We got
and increase your business.
Absolutely. Locally and nationally supported. There's no reason not to take part in it.
Aliens like our show more than any other.
You'd be improving the quality of your own listening environment by doing this we'd be able to afford a better board and go forward with it. So do listen in. We'll be right back at you in just a couple of minutes with David Michelle Davies from the Webby Awards, and very excited to hear from him. So
is like the Oscars of Internet Awards.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh yeah. I can't wait to hear what he's got.
These are
going
to be some of the best websites ever.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we'll talk about it in a minute.
Bye.
WRLR 98.3 FM.
Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advance tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Hey, Lake County, don't forget to tune in to 98.3 FM every Wednesday from 10 to 1.
For Midday Madness.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you heard it. That's right. Midday Madness every Wednesday from 10 to 1 right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
That's crazy.
All the hits.
All the hits.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis.
And Zane Adams inviting you to join us every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock as we listen to all the hits, the greatest rock and roll hits of three decades.
The 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we remember Chicagoland's two great top 40 radio stations that brought you all those hits. The Big 89 WLS.
And Big 10 Super CFL.
Saturday mornings, 11 o'clock, it's all the hits right here, 98.3 WRLR.
All the hits.
All the hits.
All right. We are back. I think so. Oh, Dave's not back. There, how about that? There we go.
Now I'm back.
Now Dave's back.
I'm sort of back.
We got Dave back.
I don't want to be back.
Am I back? I don't know if I'm back. I think I'm back. All right.
I think you need to turn the headphones up now.
Oh, okay.
Because we have made that adjustment.
Like I said, we're getting used to this new board.
Can you do guest two for me too?
Now I'm doing better. Okay.
That's much
there
better.
There we are. Now we'll be able to hear our guest.
We sound like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yes. I'm calling our guest right now. We've got. I may just have to let him do the introductions here.
And who?
This is David. David, I think.
Michelle.
It's David Michelle. Davies.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And apparently he doesn't want to talk to us because he's listened to part of the show.
Could be. That happens. That happens occasionally.
Yeah. He's talking to his 704. His agent right now.
Yeah.
Hi, you reached the phone of Stella Lee with Linus.
I'm sure she would have been interesting to speak to as well.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try this other number that we've got for him. Since that one didn't work.
Hey, we were talking earlier about off-air about the Conflicker worm. I guess it's infected 9 million computers in the last 2 weeks. And it makes copies of itself and disables essential Windows services such as automatic update, Windows malware protection, all the stuff that you need to protect yourself from internet malicious software is being disabled by this guy. And it's called Conflicker, or also known as Kiddo,
yeah.
K-I-D-O.
Good morning.
Down Adam. Can I stop killing time?
I'm going to break Gabe out of here. Sorry, I had we were trying to get the phone numbers right here. I hope this one is going to work.
Looking good.
Okay, excellent. You know what? I've probably been mangling your name here on air, so I'm going to let you introduce yourself and let's hear about the Webby Awards. But why don't you help us pronounce your name properly for us?
No problem. It's David Michelle Davies.
Hey.
But people call me DMD, so feel free to do that.
DMD, I like that. That'll be much easier for us.
It's a good radio handle. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was close enough to Canada to get a little French in me, but not confident enough. Well, you know, we've been talking to people. Now, this is actually kind of an annual thing for us, too. We had you on last year. I don't know if we had you on early enough that people were able to partake and actually submit, but why don't you tell us a little bit about the Webby Awards, which is like, this is the thing for people associated with internet, with web, with everything that's going on, Web 2.0. I mean, it's a big, big deal. Why don't you put it in your words, tell us a little bit what is the Webby Awards about?
Sure. We're in our 13th year, and the Webby Awards honors, you know, outstanding achievement on the internet. So anything from great websites, the great online films and videos, to mobile sites and great interactive advertising, and also individuals who are doing and accomplishing great things online. So it's really just the premier award to win if you create work for the net.
And the people that have been honored in the past and have shown up to accept the awards, just so that listeners get a sense for
absolutely.
You know, this
you know, it's just last year we the Webby Person of the Year was Stephen Colbert. We had David Byrne there as well. David Bowie has been there in the past. Prince, Vinton Cerf, who's one of the founding fathers of the internet, founders of YouTube, et cetera. So it's really quite a, we've had the opportunity, fortunately, to honor some of the people who've done some of the great work online.
So yeah, just an amazing collection of individuals who have been honored and certainly excellent picks as well. How long have you guys been giving out the awards, and how did you get your start with it? What was it that kind of inspired the idea of doing this large scale type of, because there's a lot of places do these kind of little, top 10 lists, and we have our cool sites of the week and all this business, but what inspired doing the large scale professional type of an award system like this?
Well, as I mentioned, we've been around for 13 years, since about 1996 we started, and if you look back at actually sort of, you really can get a sense of how the web has changed by looking at sort of when we started. Back in 96, people using the net were really, it was really kind of a niche medium, it was like for people with hobby groups and community organizations and basically people who were trying to find others with similar interests that might not necessarily be covered by traditional media. Today, obviously, that's, if there was, 100 million people online that first few years, today there's, a billion and a half and up. So, that's really changed, and you can really get a sense of that. Just by looking at the history, looking every year, you can really see the changes, how the internet has grown. But, why? I think, fortunately enough, we had some founders and a team that recognized, you know, that loved the Net and the Web in 96 and said, hey, look, there's the Grammys for music and there's the Emmys for TV and there's the Oscars for film. You know, we think this is going to be just as big, if not bigger, than all those things. And, you know, we need a recognition program to sort of, you know, help the industry and really look at what's great and highlight what's great each year so that, you know, people who are creating work can look and say, hey, can learn from that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, surely you hit on a lot of the, you know, actually a question occurs to me, right? I got to ask, you may not know this, but off the top here, do you remember who was the first winner or one of the first winners of the initial Webby Awards 13 years ago? Just out of curiosity.
Sure. I think it was probably about 15 or 20 categories at first, probably 15 categories. So there was a suite of them, I would say, but, I think the Motley Fool was a big winner the
okay.
first year, which was a finance site, which has sort of gone through a bunch of iterations. Salon.com actually was there that was in that first year as well, which, you know, still going strong today and has won, you know, numerous Webby Awards since then. And, I think the BBC also did quite well at the beginning.
Excellent.
So, you know, a lot of the sites that sort of started off doing some pioneering work went on to do great things. And, you know, of course, if you look back, too, there's a bunch of sites there that, you know, we sort of have come to the end of their line since then. So it's an interesting thing to look at.
And you have various categories for content, style, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we do. So we look at sort of four major, you know, major categories, which is, or media types. We look at websites. We look at film and video that's created for, premiered online. We look at mobile sites, and we look at advertising. And then within each of those, there's obviously numerous categories. So in websites, it's everything from best film site or best music site or best social networking site. And in the online film and video category, we look at things that, you know, best short film, best comedy, best viral video, those kind of things.
Yep. Excellent. And I'm sure that those categories have changed tremendously over the last 10 to 13 years as well. You know, how are the websites and the web presence themselves, how are those selected? Do people have to be nominated, or can you nominate yourself, or do you guys actually actively go out and you know, pay attention to what's on the upper sphere of people's notice?
Well, it's a little bit of all of the above, but at the end of the day, it comes down to we accept entries online from all over the world, and this year it's until January 30th, so anybody can go online and enter. And we do a lot of things to sort of then to really promote that. So it's everything from we do events throughout the world to try and find the best international work. And we have ambassadors in 25 countries trying to help us with that. We have members of the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences, which is the judging body for the Webby Awards, to go through a preliminary round of judging in the fall and do a lot of suggestions of what they've seen this year and what they think is great. And we try and contact those sites and those works and encourage them to enter. You know, we talk to people like you who are in your community talking about this kind of stuff too and hopefully getting the word out. So we really, you know, we try sort of a multi-pronged approach to getting out there and letting people know that they can enter and trying to find that great work.
Excellent, excellent. So how can people enter? Where do they go to get their site on there? I know a lot of listeners have got their own websites. Hopefully they're proud of what they've done. What would they what would be the process for getting invested in this?
You just go to webbyawards.com. It was a big enter. You know, it's pretty self-explanatory once you get there, and the process is fairly simple. And that's really about it, to be honest with you. Webbyawards.com until January 30th.
Until January 30th. So people have still a couple of weeks. That's certainly not enough time to create something, but probably.
Well, you know how that is.
Yeah. So if you're
we thinking, all know that is. Maybe yeah. by next January 30th.
Yeah, exactly. Think about next year's if you're just getting off the ground right now. But if you've been doing something this last year, go to webbyawards.com and you can sign up. Now, what we should probably talk about the event itself and the award itself. You know, other than a big hunk of metal to stick on your desktop back where you've got your servers and things, what does the award get for you? What's involved with it?
Well, I think, you know, it's very much similar to some of those other media awards. It really, it's a recognition that the work that you've done or the of what you've entered is really the top tier of the internet that year. And, you know, it's a great service to the community because it allows other people who are aspiring to do great work to look at what you did and sort of learn from that. And it also really recognizes, you know, you as a creator or a company or an organization, what you did online this year and sort of shines that spotlight on you. And, you know, it can have different kinds of effects for different kinds of people. I think, you know, for website creators themselves, it can help them get a better job, make more money, obviously, be better recognized, get more great work, work with better clients, all those kind of things that come from sort of being recognized as the best.
Excellent. Yeah, that makes sense. It definitely, any type of promotion of your website has got to be a good thing. And the Webby Awards is just known as, you know, the top award. This is the one that you want to get. Now, the actual ceremony itself occurs out in New York. Is that correct?
It is. It's in New York City. It'll be June of this year. And, you know, last year we had about 1,000 people at Cipriani Wall Street downtown. And like I mentioned, it was hosted by Seth Meyers, the head writer of Saturday Night Live. And people will be familiar with his face from Saturday Night Live Weekend Update, who was just great and just, I mean, literally wrote, you know, dozens of internet jokes, which is really fantastic. So, but the fun thing about the show is we have a, unlike other award show where people go up and give these long rambling speeches, we have a five-word limit to the speech. So you get to come out and give your speech, but you only get to say five words.
Five words. And so these must be some pretty memorable words. Do people typically come up with an actual sentence, or is it well, maybe just give us some examples. What are some of the more memorable five-word speeches?
It tends to be a mixed bag. One of my favorites from last year was Stephen Colbert, and his speech was, Me. And for those familiar with his work, it's, you know, very appropriate to his sort of personality and so forth. It's really funny. But, you know, Al Gore, a bunch of years ago, right after we honored him with Lifetime Achievement for the work he did in helping get sort of the internet funded from a government sort of defense project into a public project. And it was right after he had just won or lost the election, whichever way you tend to look at it.
Yeah.
And he said, please don't recount this vote, which was pretty great.
That's excellent. Yeah. Oh, man.
Another good one, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be really tough to come up with the five words. I like the Stephen Colbert. That's perfect. Absolutely perfect, though.
he did it set to the walk-up music of Born in the USA, which is, again, another great Stephen Colbert.
Yes. With, I'm sure, lots of arm waving and everything
exactly.
else. Yeah. and of course, this year is going to be no exception as far as the quality and luminosity. These are web luminaries. They're also public figures just in general. I noticed on the website it says that Ludacris is going to be doing the after show.
Interviews?
You can tell I'm a radio host, can't you? I've got such a command of the language.
He actually did the, now I'm worried if we should go to the site if it's not in the past tense. You have me scared, but he played our after party last year, which is why that's up there on the site. And he basically started this new site called WeMix, which is really an interesting thing. It was a little bit of a talent platform to try and find like the next great hip hop artists, and he created a site which basically invited hip hop artists throughout the country to sort of submit their work and so forth. And he chose, you know, a couple of really talented people, and then they got to come into the studio with him and some other people. So he was really using the net to try and get out there and find more talent.
Oh, cool.
And obviously he wanted to promote that, and so he came to the Webbies and he presented the Artist of the Year award to Will.i.am, who did those great online videos for Barack Obama, and then he came and played the after party, did like a great half hour set. It was amazing.
Oh, excellent. Okay, yeah, it does. You may want to mention to somebody the little flash slideshow does show him, and it does indicate, it says that he's going to be doing the gala.
Yeah, I feel like the caption, we're going to have to pass tense that. It sounds like it didn't get done.
who's going to be performing this year then?
Don't know yet. Secret. We'll see, though. It'll be good.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it is still a few months away. Now, who does the actual judging? Are there any people that we would recognize, or is it organizations that do the judging in a lot of cases?
We have this body called the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences, which we created back in, 97, I think, with in cooperation with PricewaterhouseCoopers, who does a lot of the process work for some of the other major media shows there, and so we wanted to make sure we did it right and all that. So it's been around for 11 years, and about 600 individual members. And really, at the beginning, especially, we thought it was really important to get artists and business people from all walks of industry, not just specifically online, because back then, we felt like it was really important that a musician should have a say as to what was a great music site, or a director as to what was a great film site. So a lot of the names are very familiar. Again, it's, we have Richard Branson in travel, David Bowie in music, Ariana Huffington is a member. But so it's a cross-section of sort of media leaders and artists, and filmmakers and musicians, and also, of course, people from the web's leading companies, Google and Facebook and MySpace and all that too. So it's really diverse. And it's fairly international, too. I think about 30% of the members come from outside the United States.
Excellent. Excellent. No, that does sound like a fantastic cross-section. And certainly, if you were selected by these individuals, I mean, that would be an honor all in itself, just to have, your name coming out of any one of those people's mouths would be, certainly make me excited.
Yeah, I mean, just having, I think, the chance to have some of your work looked at by some of those people is really fascinating, is really interesting as well.
Exactly, exactly. We're gonna have to start closing this up. I want to make sure, though, maybe when the awards are getting close, or maybe even right after they're finished, I'd love to have you back on, and we can talk about who the winners are once those have been decided. Want to remind people that they can go to webbyawards.com. Is there any other place that they should go, or is there a Twitter account they can follow, or anything else that they should be doing right now if they want to make sure that they keep up to date with what's happening with the awards?
You can sign up for the Webby Awards newsletter on the site. We also have a great Facebook group, which people can visit a fan page and get information that way. But and then just webbyawards.com. So all of those things.
Excellent, excellent. Well, DMD from the Webby Awards, we've been very, very happy to have you on again this year, and looking forward to keeping up with it, and really hoping that maybe one of our listeners will be honored this year in New York.
That'd be fantastic. The pleasure has been all mine. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you again, and have a great week, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks.
And that was David Michel Davies with the Webby Awards. He is the CEO or president, I don't know what the exact title is, of the Webby Awards. And what a great honor to have him on again this year. We look forward to talking to him again, like I said, in a few months, and finding out who took it, who won the awards.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, and just flipping through the 2008 winners and the 2007 winners, it's wow. It's really, really cool stuff, really neat stuff. So you'll definitely want to check that out. And if you've got a website of your own, you've got a blog, you got a podcast, like we were talking about earlier, any of those things, go to
webbyawards.com,
put it in there. What do you got to lose,
And what's the website again?
webbyawards.com, and that's spelled webby. So think of a duck. It's webby. It's webby like a duck.
Yeah.
What time is it? Oh my gosh, we are right. Oh.
Speaking of awards,
we're here on the Tech Talk Show to tell you the price is always right. when you check out our cool sites of the week. Now, I want to remind people, of course, you can always go to techtalk.wrlr.fm. You might have to hunt around for it a little bit, but there is a page there that you can get all the cool sites that we've ever done and the ones that are coming up soon. You can sign up for that as an RSS feed, or you can just check them out online. And it's all good stuff. We've got our own, we don't have any really awards, but it's still good stuff to look at anyways. Now, a lot of listeners, myself included, I love, as you know, I love music. I love new music. I love indie stuff, but I also just like stuff that maybe other people are finding and I'm not yet.
Yeah.
And really good stuff. And I just recently stumbled across a fantastic site. I'd seen this site before, but
yeah,
not the specific page
yeah
that I got to the other day. The
yeah
site is called the site.
Yeah.
Come on. He's, yeah, all right. We're rolling here.
You teased us enough.
I know. Yeah. I know. I love the tease, though. You know, it's the foreshadowing that really sets the suspense in line. The Hype Machine. Hype Machine is the site. And if you go to hypem.com, but the page in there I want you to check out is Zeitgeist/2008, and it is the music zeitgeist of 2008. I mean, how else can you describe it? It is the top 50 albums, the top 50 artists, and the top 50 songs for 2008 as far as what was being posted on music blogs around the country.
So it's a bit of a bot. It's an information gathering bot.
That's exactly what Hype Machine is. Yeah. And it's
cool.
It scours all the music.
I love that kind of stuff. I love the kind of stuff that gets like so almost sociological information about what's going on in information.
Yeah, yeah, and it keeps you up to date on what's happening with in the music scene. And the cool thing about the Hype Machine Zeitgeist spot on there is that they've worked out some kind of a deal with the record companies, the producers of each of these artists and so on, that you can actually stream the entire album online. And it's very good quality stuff, and it's great, and it's free. I mean, you don't have to sign up. You don't have to put in an email address, nothing. Just go right there, check out, listen to stuff that you like. In fact, we may even wind up ending the show with a with something that I play off of that website, and that'll be our podcast only song of the week, of course, but you'll still be able to hear it perhaps at the end. So definitely take a look at that. Very, very cool stuff. Now, one other thing that I want to tell you about too, I do this a lot at work, is we've talked about taking screenshots of your screen as an educational tool. You know, I do a lot of stuff where people call me and they say, my email's broken. You know, well, what do you mean your email's broken? You know, and so then once we finally get it, it turns out it's a user education issue. They didn't know that they were supposed to hit the send button. Yeah, you know, whatever it may be. This is not a real example. But so, you know, you can try to explain to them, yeah, the send button. It's the one that says send on it. It's up in the upper left hand corner. No, not of your whole screen. Just other. Yeah, you get. Well, of course, now an easier way to do it is picture is worth 1,000 words, and we've talked about doing screenshots, and there's really great free apps out there for doing screenshots, and you can pull those together and put those together and show a way to activate stuff. Well, an even better thing, of course, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, then a video has got to be worth like a million times that.
Oh yeah,
something.
Sure.
So there is and this is really neat stuff. This is not an application. I want to remind you, this is not an application you have to download. You don't have to install anything. As long as your browser is enabled to use Java,
yeah,
you can go.
So it's a Java app.
It's a Java app. It's yeah. You go to ScreenToaster.com.
Yeah. Oh, ScreenToaster.
ScreenToaster.
Sounds dangerous.
It's gonna toast your screen.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I've used it. It's awesome. What you do is you do have to sign up for an account, but you sign up for your account, and then you can take video and audio of anything that's going on your screen, and you can do it just in a specific window or rectangle, or you can do the whole screen. All this, you can record anything coming in through the mic, or
and then you can send it along.
Speakers.
You can email it.
You don't even have to deal with the file itself. You actually just send a link that's created for you then
cool.
to the person.
Wow,
so
cool.
You link them to it. You can share it. You can send it. You can do whatever you can embed it in a web page, whatever it may be. What a great way to show off to the Webby Awards guys your new application, you know, whatever it may be. it's really cool stuff, though. Really cool stuff. And I think people should check
that
out.
And what's the website address for that again?
ScreenToaster.com. Com.
Cool.
And yeah, so check that out. Like I said, those are both really free stuff, music and the other one. You know, and I'm not even going to bring up anymore. I think those two are enough for this week. I think that's excitement enough. I don't want.
I'm excited. Those are both very cool.
I don't want to freak people out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people are just gonna explode. It's like David Allen talks about, you know, it's information overload. I don't want to overload anybody. And I want to remind people though that we are talking about moving the podcast. We're going to switch you over to a different thing. So in the future, over the next couple of weeks to a month, you're going to be getting more and more information about it. We're also going to be doing a number of things that you'll see coming up in the monthly newsletter. So send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm. Make sure you're signed up for that newsletter. Also, to, of course, check us out anytime. Our website is always techtalk.wrlr.fm. And I'm frantically searching through. There was actually a song that I wanted to play for you, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to find it here.
We could hum something.
We could hum something. Yeah, I don't know if we'd like that. let's see. How about this? We're going to do Ra Ra Riot, and the song that I'm going to play is called Ola, and I think I've got it queued up. And I'm playing this. I am actually playing this right off of HypeMachine.com Zeitgeist.
Cool.
So check it out. Like I said, this is Ra Ra Riot. They were one of the top 50s on there. And we will be back at you.
See you next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Have a great week, guys. Thanks for listening.
Take care. Thanks.
As always.
Bye.
Our future, it seems to hang on so tight.